Hello, and welcome to episode 28 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question to Pastor Stephen dbc@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor stevendbc@gmail.com. In this episode, this will be the first of a two-part look at the summary of chronological events that occurred the week of Passion or Easter. So again, this will be part one, looking at the week of Passion or Easter, starting on Palm Sunday and giving an overview of the events that happened chronologically through Easter morning. So grab your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark, and let's get started. Now, the way that we'll be doing these two podcasts is, if you're familiar with these podcasts, we usually ask a question and then we try to answer the question. And so we'll be following a somewhat similar format to that. And so the first question is going to be, what occurred on Sunday of the week of Easter or the Passion of Christ? So in order to find that, we're going to use the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. Now, in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, what we would have is on the week of Easter, or again, Passion, this would be Sunday, what we call today Palm Sunday, and what we typically refer to in terms of what occurred on this day, on Palm Sunday, this is where Jesus has his entrance into Jerusalem, and we sometimes refer to this as the triumphal entry. And so starting off of the week of Easter, the week of Passion, chronologically, we start with Palm Sunday, where Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. Now you'll see here in verse 1 that as Jesus approached Jerusalem at Bethany and Bethany, you'll note it's near the Mount of Olives. Now the name Bethany probably is familiar to some of you. Bethany was a place that Jesus often went to, and he would visit with, for instance, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You can see that in John chapter 11, as well as John chapter 12, for example. Bethany was on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, the reference there in verse 1. And what you'll find there in verses 2 through 3 is that Jesus there, as he's approaching Jerusalem, he tells the disciples to go into the village and look for a colt. But it was a particular colt. It was one that was tied but had never been ridden on before. So he tells them exactly in verses 2 through 3 what they should expect to find. And then in verses 4 through 6, when they actually get there, they find everything just as Jesus told them. This may seem like a small detail, but it's important in the narrative of that week, in particular because we see where Jesus is in control of the events that happen. These don't happen accidentally. The Lord is in control of even the seemingly small details. It gives us an example of his omniscience. Now, if you're not familiar with what the word omniscience means, I'm going to read this from the Moody Handbook of Theology. It says, omniscience is the characteristic of God that means he knows all things actual and possible, whether past, present, or future. And so throughout the Gospels, we find that we can take Jesus at his word. We can trust and believe him, not 90%. Not 95%, not even 99.9, but 100% of what Jesus tells us, what we have in the scriptures, can be completely trusted. So again, it reminds us of the Lord's total control over the events, even the small little seeming details of that week. Now, to close out Monday, you'll notice in verses 9 through 11, probably in along with at least the riding of the colt, what you'll find is probably the most familiar piece of the triumphal entry. You'll notice that the people around shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Now, when we look at this, it's important to understand a few things of it. First is the word Hosanna in Hebrew means save now. So there is this idea of salvation or saving, or perhaps even you could think of deliverance. And what they're shouting, actually, depending on your translation, you may notice that the words are either in italics or all caps. It's because the people are quoting from Psalm 118 and verse 26. So again, when they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they're quoting from Psalm 118 and verse 26. So as we start off looking at the chronological events of the week of Easter, on some Sunday we have the Palm Sunday, where Jesus goes and has his triumphal entry, as we sometimes call it, his entrance into Jerusalem. Now, before we go any further in the week, you'll notice in verse 11, it says, "Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, looked around at everything, and then he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late." So what you see there is the sequence of events. Jesus comes on Sunday, has the triumphal entry, enters into Jerusalem, goes to the temple, and then he returns to Bethany. This is a somewhat familiar sequence of events where he will go and leave from Bethany, go to the temple in Jerusalem and teach, and then return back either to Bethany or near the Mount of Olives. Now, as we move into the next portion of the week, we're going to ask the question, what occurs on Monday and Tuesday of the week of Easter or Passion Week? Now, we start off with Monday, and if you are following along in the passage in Mark 11, you'll notice in verse 12, immediately after what we just read in verse 11, it says, "On the next day, he leaves Bethany," and so forth. So again, this puts us on the day of the week of Monday, the day after the triumphal entry. And what happens on Monday? Well, we know in verses 12 through 19 of Mark 11 that Jesus tells the parable of the fig tree. This is a curse on a tree, and it teaches a particular lesson. I'm going to read from the Ryrie Study Bible on this. Ryrie says, "The curse of the tree is illustrative of the rejection of Israel, a nation unfruitful despite every advantage." And so on his departure from Bethany on Monday, he tells the what we call parable of the fig tree. And then we also have the recording of Jesus where he drives out the money changers in verses 15 through 19 in the temple. This is sometimes called to or referred to as the second temple cleansing. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, if it's the second one, when is the first one? The first one was earlier in his ministry, and we find that in John chapter 2, verse 13 and forward. So on Monday, he tells the parable of the fig tree, and he drives out the money changers in the temple. Now to answer the second part of the question, what happens on Tuesday of that week? Well, what you have there is, for example, in Mark 11, verses 20 through 33. And what you can see there is you can see the sequence changed. Verse 19, it says, "When evening came, they left the city there in Jerusalem." And then in verse 20, it picks up again sequentially in the morning. And so what you have is additional teaching on Tuesday with the disciples. as well as you'll notice if you have your Bibles, verses 27 through 33, Jesus' authority is questioned by the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. So we see on Tuesday that those are some things that occur on that particular week. And if you're in Mark's gospel, you'll notice chapter 12, of course, gives a parable. We have the story of the widow's mite. But on Tuesday, you'll notice as we look towards the latter part of that day, exactly when, of course, we don't know. But you can see where what we will be looking at finally here on Tuesday. In Mark 13 and verse 1, it says, "And as he was going out of the temple, his disciples asked, 'Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings.'" So this moves us on Tuesday after the teaching to his disciples, the questioning of Jesus' authority, and some of the other additional teaching that he has there. When he does leave the temple on Tuesday, his disciples begin asking him a series of questions, which prompts Jesus to give a lengthy discourse all the way through the end of chapter 13, which is verse 37. Now, this is a well-known lengthy teaching, sometimes called, you may have the reference in your mind of the Olivet Discourse. So if we follow it chronologically, on Tuesday, Jesus has some additional teaching. He has the issue about his authority being questioned. And eventually he leaves the temple on Tuesday. And as they leave, he and his disciples, the disciples ask questions to him. And they range from things that I will call immediate in terms of when we see them fulfilled versus those things that are far distant in the future. And this is what's called the Olivet Discourse. Again, it's Mark 13, verses 1 through 37. You can also find the longer version, you might say, in Matthew 24 through 25. That one is a very lengthy, very detailed description of the Olivet Discourse. Again, Matthew 24 through 25. You can also find some additional details in Luke 21, beginning in verse 5. Now, if you're not familiar with this, what you have is the question comes about the temple. First, what we have is the response related to that, and we know that that is the fulfillment that is more immediate. The temple was destroyed just as Jesus declared it would be in 70 AD. The disciples also ask a series of questions related to when will these things be? When will be the sign of your coming? And so forth. And those things are the things that would be far distant future. So instead of immediate, relatively speaking, 70 AD's temple destruction, you have the future that is far distant even for us today. And that is what the Olivet Discourse is mostly known for. It describes, for instance, the tribulation period, the Antichrist. And if you're in Mark 13, you'll notice verses 24 through 27 speak of the second coming of Jesus. It's important to notice one particular thing about it, which is that the Lord wanted the disciples, and us by extension, to know that the future is ultimately in his hands. So strategically, where it's at is helpful because, of course, it would not be long from this Tuesday, probably afternoon, evening period of time, till the crucifixion. And the disciples would need to have hope that the future was still in the Lord's hands and that he determines the future. And that's a good reminder for us when we look at, for instance, things like the Olivet Discourse. So on the one hand, Jesus makes the twofold prediction. The first is that the temple would be destroyed. Well, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The remaining of the, if you will, prophecy, the future, is related to the tribulation period, the Antichrist, all of which are difficult teachings, and they're hard sometimes to read and just to think of all the horrors that will come upon the earth. But we are also promised of his glorious return. Again, Mark 13, 24 through 27. And so we can praise the Lord that we have hope today, that the crucifixion, his burial wasn't the end. He would arise again, and he would also return again one day, which is a promise that you and I each have as well. So we've covered so far in this episode that the week of Easter or Passion, beginning on Sunday, that is Palm Sunday as we think of it, focuses on the entrance, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then on Monday, we have the parable of the fig tree and the second temple cleansing. On Tuesday, you have additional teaching with the disciples. You also have Jesus' authority questioned when he is in the temple on Tuesday. Then when they depart from the temple, Jesus gives the Olivet Discourse and reminds us of the future being in his hands and many of the prophecies and so forth. So then finally, what we're going to look at in this episode is what happens on Wednesday of that week. Again, what happens on Wednesday? Now, sometimes people will refer to this as a, if you will, silent day. And this would be a little bit of a misnomer. Now, what we know, for instance, is that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 37 through 38, it indicates there, Luke does, that Jesus taught every day in the temple. So we could conclude that Jesus at least taught to some degree. We don't know what, but he did do some continued teaching. But we also know on Wednesday that there would have been a plot to kill Jesus, at least at the beginning portions of what we know in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. So if you look at Mark 14 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priest and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and to kill him," and so forth. So what you see there is the plot and those things that begin to occur there on Wednesday of that week. As we conclude part one, we can now look at the calendar for that week and see where on Sunday we have the triumphal entry, Monday the parable of the fig tree and the second temple cleansing, on Tuesday teaching, authority questioned by the chief priest, the Olivet Discourse takes place on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we have from Luke's gospel there was some additional teaching. But we also see the beginning stages of the plot by the Sanhedrin to kill Jesus. Well, that concludes today's episode. Be sure to tune in for our next episode, and we will cover in part two Thursday. We'll see how we transition from the accounts of Wednesday into Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then, of course, Resurrection Sunday. Until then, God bless.